The holidays are behind us and we're in the new year. That means the Florida legislature's embarking on the 2026 legislative session. I'm Bill Mick. Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. Joining me this week, political scientist Chris Muro, a frequent contributor here on the Roundtable. Chris is a graduate of both Georgetown and UCF and provides unique insights into Florida politics and legislation. Before we get to the just-started legislative session, we'll catch up on the political scene in the state. This midterm election year, where we'll determine nominees and our next governor, the state of politics in the Sunshine State, with political scientist Chris Muro, this week on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. Honored you choose to join us here. We'll get it all started in moments as we talk Florida and politics on the Roundtable.
On the road, there's a thin line between safety and tragedy. Don't cross it. When you see any vehicle parked on the side of the road with emergency or hazard lights flashing, move over a lane or slow down to 20 miles per hour below the posted speed limit. That includes visible signage, emergency flares, even a disabled vehicle with a flat tire. Please give law enforcement, first responders, service and utility professionals, and fellow drivers the space they need. Move over, Florida. It's the law. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Ugh, PB&J again. It's the third time this week.
Moms, packing lunch shouldn't be stressful. FreshFromFlorida.com has plenty of quick, delicious lunch and snack ideas to help freshen up lunchtime. Just look for the sunny Fresh From Florida logo where you shop for locally grown, in-season fruits and veggies to please even the pickiest eater.
PB&J again. With Florida strawberries? Thanks, Mom!
Packing lunches has never been easier. Fresh From Florida. There's sunshine in every bite.
Need to sell your house fast? Whether you're facing foreclosure, stuck with bad tenants, or just ready for a fresh start, House Buyer Network can help. We buy homes as is for cash. No fees, no commissions, no repairs. Get a fair cash offer in just 24 hours and close in as little as 7 days. Call 833-464-0827 now for your free no-obligation offer. That's 833-464-0827. House Buyer Network. Fast cash, no hassle.
Splish, splash, I'm taking up.
Everything okay in here?
Oh, yeah, sure is.
You're wearing a life jacket.
Sure am.
In the tub?
Practicing for when we head to the lake. I read about wearing one at wearitflorida.com.
And wearitflorida.com told you to wear it in the tub?
Nope, that was my idea. You know, Florida is the leader in boating fatalities, so a life jacket can save lives.
As you were.
Splish, splash, I was taken.
Learn away. More at wearitflorida.com.
Political scientist Chris Muro with us on the Florida Roundtable this weekend. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our podcasts at BillMick.com. You'll find those podcasts right there at the top of the page. Chris, good to see you. Happy New Year, my friend.
Bill, great to be with you. Happy New Year to you and your listeners. I had a great Christmas season, but glad to be back in the studio with you. Thank you.
And the legislature is all very happy to be back in Tallahassee as they got started, last week. So here we go. I thought we'd start this week wrapping up 2025 and the things that were impacting Florida and moving. It doesn't stop at the holiday season. It goes right on through. The legislature has already been in a series of committee weeks, and that session already starting as we get this show on the air. It's going to be interesting to watch and follow. What would you do to start a discussion on this next legislative session?
Well, you know, the 2026 legislative session, it's always exciting when, the Florida legislature gets back to work, to the work of the people of the state of Florida. But, looking at the upcoming session, the current session, we can't, I think, not look at it in the context of the 2025 legislative session, because what happened in 2025 in Florida was absolutely historic, Bill, and for all the wrong reasons. First of all, you had the governor calling for a special session to deal with immigration issues.
Mm-hmm.
The House of the Senate got together and within seconds gaveled out that session.
Yeah, they opened it and then closed it immediately without doing anything.
Without doing anything. Right. I mean, it was what a rebuke, so what disrespect.
Contention from the beginning.
From the beginning, from
and
the get-go.
And this from a governor who for 6 years owned the legislature.
Owned the legislature up until, his running for the Republican nomination, and it's all unraveled since then as far as his stature, his sway, his influence with the legislature.
Well, it told me something. For the first time, I believe, in my following Florida politics, which started in 1998-ish, we saw a legislature with actual leaders in it, said, wait a minute, we've got a role to perform, and this is it. And no, you don't get to dictate it from the governor's mansion.
Right. Well, that's a great principle. The fact that the legislature is going to assert its role and not just serve as a rubber stamp and just kind of an echo chamber.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think most of us would agree that's a great thing. The problem is now is that the people who are in leadership, Ben Albritton in particular, the state Senate president, Dan Perez, the House Speaker, They are not working together. They've got different agenda priorities.
The Senate always has a different agenda from the House. It is a far less conservative body than the House ever has been.
Well, absolutely. But the problem is that everybody seems to be out for each other, their own interests, rather than coming together as an agenda, a conservative Republican agenda for the state of Florida.
Yeah.
That's lost on us now. And what we're seeing is the state Senate president, Ben Albritton's come out. He's talking about the rural renaissance again.
Yes.
That's his big issue now,
where
we got the New Deal, the Green Deal, the New Frontier, the Square Deal, and we've got now the rural renaissance again.
You and I may end up fighting over this, but I see this as a result of term limits. Because as they come to the conclusion of their time in their respective bodies, they want to show something for their work. He's wanting to take something home, Albritton is, to say, right, look what I've done for these rural communities.
Yeah, oh yeah, because this is the apex.
His swan song.
This is the apex of his career in politics. It ends here.
Yeah.
I think that the rural renaissance is going to see the same fate it did in the 25 session, where it passed the Senate, but it all unraveled in the House. And so we're hoping to see that. Bill, by the way, I think I did say that, yeah, I started off as a great believer in term limits back in 2000. But I think 25, 26 years now of experience has shown us that it wasn't the silver bullet it had promised to be.
I have a friend who's a state representative about to leave office, and actually he admitted for the first time on the air that he'd been wrong on term limits because it's a seniority driven body, the legislature, either house, seniority driven.
Right.
And by the time you have the seniority to be able to actually impact things, your time is done.
Right.
And we don't develop statesmen anymore. There's something to be said for having power in certain senators and representatives and the respect that comes with long-term service. And we're back with Chris Mero in moments right here on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network.
What'd your mom pack you for lunch?
Let's see, a turkey sandwich, chips, and...
oh, fresh from Florida strawberries.
I'll trade you for some string cheese.
Sure, here's my sandwich and my chips.
No, I want the Florida strawberries.
Seriously? No way.
Can I throw in my juice box?
You can throw in your lunchbox. You're not getting my Florida strawberries.
Pack the snacks your kids want to eat. Look for the sunny Fresh from Florida logo where you shop.
How about my new sneakers?
Nope.
These earbuds?
Nope.
My backpack?
Nope.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor. And I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Political scientist Chris Muro with us on the Florida Roundtable. Glad you're along as well here on the Florida News Network. Of course, I'm Bill Mick. Chris, we're talking about the start of this legislative session. We probably have some 2025 things to pick up on before we go too far. But as this gets started, the power dynamic has changed in Tallahassee, and we were talking about that with the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, their agendas, and the governor has his own, and he always has, but he's not having the influence with them that he used to have.
Right. Well, you know, remember we had last year in 2025, Bill, we didn't get a budget till the 11th hour.
Right.
They had to extend the session an additional 45 days just to come up with a budget, and this is where it's all one team. Republicans control everything. You know, right. Usually this kind of acrimony we would, you know, kind of attribute to the divided government. This is united or unified government and by big numbers. But yet,
veto-proof majority.
If you're in conjunction
with each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. But DeSantis absolutely in a weakened state. But for 2026, let's not forget that this is his last session as governor of the state of Florida.
That's true.
So, you know, you've got that as a factor as well. So he really is a lame duck in every sense of the word. But he is out there putting forth an agenda, and it is an aggressive agenda for the 2026 legislative session.
You know, I've seen several things, speaking of aggressive by the governor, most recently, just last week, announcing that he wanted state charges against the former Venezuelan president, Maduro. He also wants to dictate legislative stock transactions being reported in the state. It's going to take a law to make that happen. He can't dictate that from the governor's office. Yeah. So I think he's pursuing something. I just don't know what it is.
Well, I mean, his major agenda items are, of course, abolishing property tax for homesteaded properties here in Florida, banning mandatory vaccinations for children going into the public school system. Mid-decade redistricting, he's putting pressure on the legislature to do that, and he's taking on Trump by wanting to regulate artificial intelligence use here in the state of Florida.
Yeah, that's very true.
With with Donald Trump, of course, wanting to prohibit states from regulating it at all. So, and then of course he also proposed a $117 billion budget, which is $2 billion higher than last year's budget, and almost all of that money, Bill, going to the K-12 education budget.
Well, hold on a second. Wasn't it just a year ago that we were projecting that in the next year or two, the state's going to be facing deficits? Right. And should we not be looking at more fiscally responsible ideas and holding those expenditures down like they did last year successfully?
They did. That was one of the, actually, maybe the only good thing that came out of the session last year was we saw an actual cut in the budget, which doesn't happen very often. But we're back to, you know, more spending. $300 million set aside for local governments in case the property tax reform takes a bite out of their budgets.
I was shocked when I heard that the governor said, we have a surplus, which we're not guaranteed to have down the road.
Right.
So we can take on these counties as dependents of the state instead of having them thrive on their own. There are some other ideas floating out there, such as consolidating counties and that type of thing, reducing the number of counties we have in the state. I think that's a worthy discussion to have.
Absolutely.
Because you're duplicating services that don't necessarily need to be duplicated.
Absolutely.
If you can consolidate those areas. And we're going to have that discussion on the roundtable down the road a little bit. But as we look at all of this, I think there are some other things hanging over from 2025 that present an issue or two, not the least of which being the Hope Florida situation that the governor had touted for so long. It was his wife's top agenda. A grand jury met in Leon County back in the early fall, summer, early fall. And we don't know yet if indictments are being handed down by that. And based on the evidence I've seen, largely on the reporting of the Orlando Sentinel, I think the governor and the attorney general may have some criminal liability in what's going on here if the evidence as presented is what it is. And there's been some misappropriation of those federal dollars here.
Well, I think that just adds to the litany of issues that have helped to kind of displace Governor DeSantis as the leader of both the executive and legislative branches, as he's been, you know, for most of his tenure as governor.
First 6 years, for sure, yeah.
But, you know, obviously, Bill, I think abolishing homesteaded property tax is a great issue.
It'll be a popular idea.
It should be, but we see that the legislature isn't really cooperating with the governor's vision here. What we see now between the House and the Senate side, Bill, is over 13 proposed constitutional amendments now are in this current session to deal with property taxes.
How many of those are the House and Senate in agreement on? Or are there enough differences that we may see none of this come out of there?
Well, that's the thing is you know, Ben Albritton has been the Senate president, has been talking about the poor counties and how they're going to be affected and how terrible this is going to be for some of our more underserved rural counties. Daniel Perez has kind of ignored the governor's plea to have maybe one or two specific proposals, and he's allowing a half a dozen or more in the House side to come forward. So the strategy, and I can tell you, Bill,
is throw it against the wall and see what sticks is what it sounds like.
That's exactly what's happening here. Mm-hmm. And if we remember the 2024 election, we had Amendment 5 that came out of the Florida legislature to give some property tax breaks to folks by increasing the homesteaded exemption to the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. Mm-hmm. Well, that turned out to be a big nothing burger, Bill, because we've got our property tax bill now for this year, for 2025, and the reduction has been almost negligible. You can't even see it. No effect at all.
Well, and property values, for the most part, have gone up, and even a reduced rate is going to be more taxes being paid.
Yeah, I mean, overall, though, I think there's been, property values are not, it's not like 23, 24 here now. We have seen a
some
little bit more stabilizing of that. So, but there was absolutely no relief, though, Bill. My point is from Amendment 5, no relief for Florida homeowners. And with the property insurance issue, giving some relief on the property tax side, I think, is one of the smartest things the legislature can do. But so far, there's been no relief for Florida families here.
You've got Blaise Angoulia, the state CFO, going around the state to various counties and cities, examining their budgets and saying, you're overspending by this amount of money. There's a proposal for the state to lay out at least a template budget for how these cities and counties need to budget their funds. Most folks, be it local control fans, don't like the idea. But I do believe there's an argument that these counties and cities, and Representative Monique Miller's been on the show talking about the overspending that goes on and the failure to properly prioritize. So that loss of tax dollars, the first thing they threaten is emergency services and infrastructure, or we're not going to have the money for these things. You notice they don't mention they're not going to have the money for the fluff projects that are done in each of these jurisdictions.
Well, most of the time what they're doing is levying special assessments, Bill, to fund these things anyway.
Right.
They're not taking it from their general budgets.
Right.
The other thing is that, cities and counties are all political subdivisions of the state of Florida and subject to they can be abolished or created at the will of the legislature. So, I get the local control thing. It sounds great, but let's not forget that within the state government, it's a unitary system. It's not a federalist system,
right?
Like we have at the national level,
right?
Between the state governments and the national government, within the state, it's a unitary system. So the fact is that yes, cities and counties are subject to the will of the legislature.
Right.
But I've been saying here, Bill, for a couple of years now with you, one of the most important things in my view is we need the legislature to impose on local governments, county and municipal governments, the requirement of super majorities for special assessments and millage rate increases. Right now, it just takes a bare majority, whether it's a plebiscite or a vote of the council. We need to have it where it's a supermajority for any tax increases at the local level. And I think that's got to be one of the most important issues, but the legislature is just not seeing it.
Be nice to get you in front of them and let you talk to them for a while, because I'd like to see that happen as well. It is the fiscal, again, you pointed out, Republican control, supermajority control, veto-proof majority in both houses, and you would think there would be more fiscally conservative ideas coming out of a situation like that, and yet we don't see them. And it's true at every level of government, from the state through the small towns and villages.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic, Bill, here. I'm just that we're going to get substantial property tax relief this session. I'm not feeling that optimistic about it. Also, you know, Governor DeSantis wants to ban, you know, mandatory vaccinations for public school students. That's an issue as well, but it's been introduced
in
the House.
It's not a ban on the vaccinations themselves, but on them being mandated
by
government.
That's right.
So parents who want them can still go get them.
That's right. Choice. It's all about the choice made by parents, which is a great idea. However, there's no companion bill in the Senate, and it's only in the House. And so that tells me a lot. When there's not a companion in the Senate at this stage of the session, Bill, that tells me that the likelihood that that's going to become statutory is pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
One of the concerns I have, though, is Governor DeSantis pushing for this mid-decade redistricting bill.
Concerns me as well. And I don't think it's wise. We've seen it tried in Texas. California did their counter to what Texas had done. Right. You're just asking for tit-for-tat politics every time you have a new body elected.
And recently, the Indiana legislature, the state Senate, voted no. So the House passed a redistricting plan, the state House in Indiana, mm-hmm. but the state Senate voted no. And of course, the president has said, we're gonna come after every one of those Republican senators. We're going to primary them. We're going to take them out. He called them traitors on Truth Social Post, Bill.
Right.
So it seems that, for all the great things the president has done and his leadership, he demands absolute loyalty, Donald Trump does. But rarely, I think, does he actually give that loyalty back.
That even with majorities in both houses of Congress, he's not been able to get his agenda codified. He's done a lot of things by executive order. Even when Republicans are in charge, they don't act like it and they don't pass this legislation. I get that there are hurdles in the Senate that don't exist in the House, but still, it's like Republicans can't get their act together at any level.
Right, but the point I really want to drive home here, though, Bill, is that the mid-decade redistricting is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is an important power that the founders vested in state legislatures. James Madison talks about it in Federalist Papers, Bill, specifically 45, which I'm a big fan of. But he talks about what an important power this is, the redistricting process, and how mm-hmm. we put that in the hands of the legislature.
Right.
But we're not looking at it.
But we've been doing it every 10 years,
every
two or four.
That's right.
It just doesn't make sense the way it's proposed. And we continue on the roundtable in moments. Stay with us.
Need to sell your house fast? Whether you're facing foreclosure, stuck with bad tenants, or just ready for a fresh start, House Buyer Network can help. We buy homes as is for cash. No fees, no commissions, no repairs. Get a fair cash offer in just 24 hours and close in as little as 7 days. Call 833-464-0827 now for your free no-obligation offer. That's 833-464-0827. House Buyer Network. Fast cash, no hassle.
What'd your mom pack you for lunch?
Let's see. A turkey sandwich, chips, and...
Oh, fresh from Florida strawberries.
I'll trade you for some string cheese.
Sure. Here's my sandwich and my chips.
No, I want the Florida strawberries.
Seriously? No way.
Can I throw in my juice box?
You can throw in your lunchbox. You're not getting my Florida strawberries.
Pack the snacks your kids want to eat. Look for the Sunny Fresh from Florida logo where you shop.
How about my new sneakers?
Nope.
These earbuds?
Nope.
My backpack?
Nope.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Hope you're having a pleasant weekend as you join us on the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. Political scientist Chris Muro is with us, and we're talking about the current Florida legislative session, things likely to go on, things that are proposed. You never know what the final solution is going to be until the session comes to a close and the governor either signs legislation or vetoes it. But, Chris, one of the things that has been lingering over Florida homeowners is the cost of insurance. I got a piece of mail 2 weeks ago that I'm being thrown out of Citizens, which was the only policy I could buy when I bought my home, by the way. But I'm being thrown out. You've got to make a choice. You've got to do this. I'm glad to see that we are depopulating the state-run insurance agency. But are we going to see anything out of this legislature that brings relief on the property insurance front?
Well, you know, I would say, Bill, probably not going to see anything significant that's going to do that. I mean, the whole idea of, you know, government is going to address, because Democrats are going to use, we haven't mentioned them, Bill, the Democrat Party.
It's okay. Go ahead.
They're going to be, there's not too many of them, but they're going to be in the legislature this year, and they're going to be talking about the affordability crisis, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the
key word from the national down.
Right. That's right. So that's the narrative ending the 2025 season. But the idea that government is going to bring affordability to products and services is just laughable.
No, about the only thing government can really do is create conditions that are conducive for businesses to succeed.
Exactly.
Don't tax them excessively. Regulate them reasonably, which I'm not sure we always do either.
Right.
And have they done enough in making the Florida insurance market attractive to get these other companies generated and running properly?
Well, I think the 2024 reforms have worked some, Bill, and that is reducing litigation, mm-hmm. right, and trying to address some of those costs, right? And so what have we seen in the property insurance market so far? We have seen there has been a stabilization. We're not seeing the 20, 30, 40% increases that we did in 22 and 23. So there has been some stabilization. We are getting more carriers and insurance companies coming into Florida.
I think that's key.
So yeah, that is key. The more providers we have, the more competition we have, that's always a factor in bringing prices down. So I think that staying the course on that is going to help. But I think where the legislature, again, can actually make a difference is on the property tax side. That's something that they can actually affect by bringing relief to people. is on the property tax side of this.
You mentioned the Democrats, though, and bring into the idea of affordability into the discussion. Yet in Miami, you had a Republican candidate for mayor who was saying, we want to increase home ownership. You had a Democrat candidate who won the mayorship in Miami saying, we need rent control. Right. Very opposite positions here. And which one's better for growth for the state or for the city in that case? Right. And it's like Miami went with, how do I get the most help out of the government?
Well, I guess the New York City model, right?
It could very well be, sadly. Right.
So, yeah, the idea here that the government's going to ride in to save the day on their shiny white horse. It's just laughable because the affordability crisis, if we're going to call it that, Bill, was started by the injection of trillions of dollars through the CARES Act and the America Rescue Plan and all the rest of that. The government injected in a year's time almost $7 trillion into the demand side of the economy. That's the GDP of Mexico, Canada, and Russia combined, Bill.
Wow.
We did that in one fiscal year. We injected that into the demand side of the economy. And were we expecting anything else besides an increase in prices? Well, we shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's very true. Let's go back into some of the legislation or legislative ideas that are floating around. Anyway, you mentioned that the governor's proposed budget is throwing a lot of money at education. What are we looking at on the education front here in the state?
Well, we're talking about $32 billion for the K-12 budget alone, which is going to be the biggest increase in Florida history. It's going to be the highest level that it's ever been per student, per pupil spending.
If the legislature buys it.
If the legislature buys it. And there does seem to be some discussion that I don't think there's going to be a lot of opposition to that. I mean, right, isn't that always a winning issue? The more money we spend on education, the more we put into the public education system.
The more teachers we get to vote for us.
The better off we are. I found one item, though, Bill, to be fascinating. The governor wants to spend an additional $20 million to put locks on the doors on our university and college campuses, Bill. Because in April of 2025, there was a shooting in Tallahassee at the Florida State University campus. Two people were killed, six were injured. And we come to find out, Bill, that students that were hiding in classrooms during the active shooter incident, the classroom doors didn't have locks on them, Bill.
Cost-saving measure when they were built, I guess?
Well, can you imagine, Bill, 26 years since Columbine and all of the talk about security and the school shootings?
And what the state
Parkland
was happy to pass down and mandate to local schools.
And we've got high-priced security consultants on every campus, and yet we've got major universities that don't have locks on the door, Bill?
That's interesting. Yeah, who would have thought?
It's stunning ineptitude.
And the job that most of our public schools have done has been stellar as far as securing their campuses, having the guardians or school resource officers, or in some cases both, in play. My son is a school resource officer at a Brevard County High School, has guardians working with him. So I'm familiar with that.
But I think, having locks on the door is kind of like square one.
Yeah, you would think so. Now, you mentioned something else in the break, which has to do with firearms and these college campuses. Tell me that story.
That's right. Well, this is, I think, one of the most substantial bills that's been filed so far, Bill. Senate Bill 896 by Don Getz, senator, who should be pretty familiar with that name.
Sure. Matt's dad.
That's right. And he's been a senator before, so he's back in the game.
He knows how to play in that world.
He does.
Very true. But if he's proposing a piece of firearms legislation in the Senate, Kathleen Pasadomo is not going to let it out of the Senate. She's not going to have it be heard. I mean, she's got a track record of doing that.
Well, it's true. This bill would allow for professors, faculty members, and college employees to be able to bring a gun onto campus. Bill. And there is a companion bill. Actually, it's an identical bill in the House as well.
That's usually an indicator these bills can go, and it's got some support somewhere.
It's got wind in its sails, and there's been significant movement on the House side.
I can imagine that out of the House.
So it's moving. It's moving on the House side.
My expectation would be it dies in the Senate. It's where good legislation goes to die, is the Florida Senate.
Well, I think you're right, especially gun legislation, Bill.
Yeah.
We've seen that in the past few sessions. So I think you're right, Senator Pasadomo, Senator Albritton, they're not big supporters of this, so I think that they're going to try to put procedural roadblocks
sure.
to get this thing. But the governor is all in. We definitely see the House moving on this, so there may be, for negotiation tactics on other bills, this may be something that actually we see that gets through.
And you never know what it is that's going to get a bill through. Something like this could happen. You're right. That's interesting to think about. Now, I also find the governor a little disingenuous when for 6 years he owned the legislature, claimed to be an open carry or a constitutional carry guy,
right.
And when he could have implemented it, he didn't, and then he started throwing pressure at him last year when they passed some form of almost open carry, but not quite.
Right.
And I just find it disingenuous when he says, I'm the gun guy now. Because you had 6 years where you could have done anything you wanted.
Well, I would take that and also put the property tax issue under that same umbrella, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
When you were at the apex of your power in 22 and 23, why did you not lead on these issues?
Mm-hmm.
Two, I think, of the most important issues, right?
Yeah, very true.
Self-defense, protection.
And especially on these campuses where you have seen shootings occur. And there have been some great prevention that has occurred. We've had some in Brevard County. There are others around the state that have been stopped because of the actions that was taken. There's problems with Stoneman Douglas, and they still need to be resolved. And that's part of what's being taken up gun-wise is reducing that age back to 18
right.
so that adults can buy firearms, the long guns, the shotguns, that's been prohibited since Stoneman Douglas was passed. That's floating in the House. Will it go in the
right.
Senate? Doesn't look like
probably
it will.
Not. No, I think Senator Albritton has been vocal in his opposition to that.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing is they are going to, in this proposal bill, Senate Bill 896, expansion of that Guardian program.
Okay.
So there's a major expansion, 500 new officers to be funded throughout the state. So definitely an expansion of that program, allocating resources for that. And he's got $60 million for lock. So if you're interested in maybe starting a business, a locksmith might be one of those things.
If you're
this
a college town, locksmithing could be something to go into.
Exactly.
And that's something to consider. Well, we've got some other ground to cover as we continue here. You mentioned AI earlier. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. The healthcare side of things, always a big part of the state budget. And maybe before we're out of here, a look at some Florida folks influential internationally now and how that's going. We pick it up in moments here on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
On the road, there's a thin line between safety and tragedy. Don't cross it. When you see any vehicle parked on the side of the road with emergency or hazard lights flashing, move over a lane or slow down to 20 miles per hour below the posted speed limit. That includes visible signage, emergency flares, even a disabled vehicle with a flat tire. Please give law enforcement, first responders, service and utility professionals, and fellow drivers the space they need. Move over, Florida. It's the law. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Are fungus gnats driving you crazy? Afraid of using chemical insecticides around your kids and pets? Stop fungus gnats with all-natural biological mosquito bits. The bacteria in mosquito bits is lethal to mosquitoes and fungus gnat larvae, but harmless to people, plants, and pets. Just mix a tablespoon per quart of water and apply. Mosquito bits kills fungus gnat larvae and breaks the life cycle, so you can get back to enjoying your houseplants without those annoying gnats. Fight the bite and the gnats. Find mosquito bits at your local garden or hardware store, or order online at summitresponsiblesolutions.com.
Need to sell your house fast? Whether you're facing foreclosure, stuck with bad tenants, or just ready for a fresh start, House Buyer Network can help. We buy homes as is for cash. No fees, no commissions, no repairs. Get a fair cash offer in just 24 hours and close in as little as 7 days. Call 833-464-0827 now for your free no-obligation offer. That's 833-464-0827. House Buyer Network. Fast cash, no hassle.
Bill Mick, alongside political scientist Chris Muro, this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. And Chris, I know I told you I've got some things I'd like to see us get to, but one I almost forgot about and I shouldn't have is the idea that we're going to select nominees and a governor in this year that we are in now. So as we look at that, Byron Donalds jumped in early, getting a Trump endorsement on the Republican side before he was even in the race. He's had a year or so to have his name out there, to start laying out policy proposals, and most importantly, to fundraise for this race. Right. And then in recent months, we've seen advertising campaigns for Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins. And I like Jay. I've met him. I heard him speak at an event in Brevard County. I think he's got leadership capability. Also think he's new to the political game. Yet Ron DeSantis pushing him hard, it appears, as a potential contestant for that Republican nomination. Not that he shouldn't run, but I think it'll be tough to win given the circumstances that are set up. Again, the governor asserting power that he thought he used to have, and I'm not sure he still does.
Right. Well, let's also remember Paul Renner is also running for the Republican nomination, former House Speaker.
Right.
Who I like, by the way. Paul Renner's a great guy, a distinguished gentleman. Jay Collins, a nice gentleman, conservative guy, a great guy. But
an amazing service to this country in his military career.
Absolutely.
Gave up part of a limb for this country and went back and continued to serve.
Right.
I mean, a lot to honor with Jay Collins. I think he's a political newbie, so to speak.
Right.
And some of the stunts. The governor, he was lieutenant governor for 5 minutes, and he sends Collins out to pick up a truck driver who caused a major accident on 95, killing people. That's not the role of a lieutenant governor. Cops do that every day and don't need the lieutenant governor's help.
Right.
So it was a political stunt. Stop the stunting. Stop trying to fool people. And let's talk leadership when you're talking about a potential gubernatorial nominee. I think Collins has it. I just don't know that he has the experience or the time and what's left to be able to mount a run that's going to seriously challenge Byron Donalds.
Well, Collins is not going to be the guy.
Yeah.
The lieutenant governorship, how many lieutenant governors go on to actually do anything after being lieutenant governor, Bill? You can stop and think. There's only one
you can occasionally become a senator.
Well, I was going to say, there's only one name that comes to mind, and that's John Fetterman.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, you know, the lieutenant governorship is, you know, a pretty dismal place. People are, you know, states are even abolishing them. We even had a proposal here to get rid of it last session.
Yeah.
So the lieutenant governorship is not really the stepping stone to higher office.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he's a newbie. He doesn't have the name recognition. He's not going to have the fundraising capabilities. Byron Donalds is the next governor of the state of Florida.
You're discounting any Democratic nominee of having a shot.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, listen, 2022, DeSantis won by 20 points. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump carried Florida by 14 points. That's the largest margin in a presidential election since, I think, 1948, Bill.
Okay.
So the Republican advantage in Florida is solid. It's not going anywhere. It hasn't moved. It's going to continue.
But you've got former sheriff and former Orange County mayor, Jerry Demings, who got in. And I'm trying to think who the other Democrat.
David Jolly.
Yes. And you've got them facing off.
Right.
I don't know. Does Demings have the ability to carry that and be influential across the state?
As much as Val Demings had in a race against Marco Rubio.
Okay. That's pretty evident.
It's going to be the same type of numbers you're going to see in that. So it's not even going to be a competitive race. Byron Donalds, with the Trump endorsement, with the political infrastructure that he has, the mm-hmm. name recognition, he's a great campaigner, fundraising. He's checking all the boxes, Bill.
His communications team is not good. I still haven't heard back from him. I've reached out to them multiple times, heard back from them once, replied to them, nothing. And this was before it really got up and running. I invited him here to the statewide show. You would think, if you're running for governor, statewide radio show, good place to get your name out there.
Right.
I've even approached them through other congressional members, and it's like no response. If you're not going to communicate, and especially with the media, especially friendly media, just want to introduce you to the people, get to know what your ideas are. When your communications team drops the ball, you need some other people in leadership around you.
Well, give it time. It's 2026. It's going to heat up here in the next month or so, Bill. So
I don't care at this point. I'm not interested in having any more. Yeah, I gave you an opportunity. Where you been?
Well, maybe cut them a little slack if we can. We'll see what we can do, Bill. We'll see
what we can do. It's interesting the way the communications business works, and those who are supposed to be great communicators often are not.
Right.
We've got just about 30, 40 seconds here in this segment. You mentioned AI earlier. Any major movement AI in the legislature as we look at this for this year?
Well, I mean, you know, the governor has said that the state should assert its independence, its sovereignty on this issue, kind of bucking the Trump assertion.
Seems to be a way of the future with jobs and where information technology is going.
Right, but the same thing with social media. You know, they want to put regulations on it to protect the children, Bill. That's how it's going to be sold. So we'll have to stay tuned and see.
We'll keep our eyes on it, and we'll be back to close things up with Chris Muro as we continue the Florida Roundtable in moments. Stay with us.
Selling your house the traditional way takes time. Agents, showings, repairs, fees. It's a hassle. But what if you could skip it all and sell your home for cash fast? At House Buyer Network, we buy homes in any condition. No commissions, no closing costs, no cleaning, no repairs. Whether it's inherited, outdated, or you're behind on payments, we'll make you a fair cash offer within 24 hours. Close in as little as 7 days. Thousands have sold the easy way. Now it's your turn. Call 833-464-0827 for your free no-obligation cash offer. That's 833-464-0827. House Buyer Network. Real cash, real fast. That toll-free number once again to call, 833-464-0827.
Ever feel like your plants are giving you the silent treatment? At Quality Green Specialists, we speak fluent garden. We offer the best organic-based plant nutrition products and the most comprehensive soil and plant tissue testing service. Plus, our nursery is full of ornamentals, flowers, and over 50 varieties of fruiting trees and plants. Visit QualityGreenSpecialist.com or come see us at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Quality Green Specialists, top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice.
Oh my gosh, you guys, this season's hottest accessory hit shelves decades ago and has been flying off them ever since. It's functional, it's attractive, and it's the smart choice. Life jackets. Seen here on the model, life jackets complement any figure and bring a certain je ne sais quoi to the waters.
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind you to wear your life jacket anytime you're out on the water. Visit wearitflorida.com. Wear it, Florida.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrule.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Bill Mick with you on the Florida Roundtable, bringing to a close this edition with political scientist Chris Muro. And Chris, recent events have brought some attention to the world, but one of the key figures in that, a Florida guy that we need to talk about for just a minute. Of course, the United States went into Venezuela, took out President Maduro, and his wife brought him back here to face charges. Not unprecedented in the history of the country doing these things. You go to Nicaragua and what happened there with Noriega.
Right.
My cousin was actually one of the Air Force personnel transporting him back here. So we've seen this occur. But one of the things that I thought was most impressive about this is General Dan Raisin Kane, who laid out the timeline and how it went very specifically, the planning, the logistics, the intelligence that went into it, without being too specific, you know, intelligence on the ground to let you know where this guy is and when. But then you've got Marco Rubio dealing with this with the press in that briefing the day that it occurred, but subsequently on all the Sunday shows that weekend, right. Rubio was there and being grilled by the media, and I thought he handled it so very well. Personally, I had some disappointments with Marco as a senator, as a secretary of state. He's living the world he should be living in, and he's so good at it. He's handled this so very well. Congratulations to him.
Well, absolutely. I think his star is rising, Bill, especially for what happens in 2028. I think he's definitely now considered to be in the top tier of contenders.
Potentially,
For 2028. And of course,
your vice president theory may be tested pretty hard here as far as that goes, with J.D. Vance being in that top tier as well.
Yeah, I think Rubio is kind of outshining right now anyway.
Interesting.
I think so. And I think that Rubio brings a lot more to the table than does J.D. Vance, but that's my opinion. But
sure.
Let me just say, Bill, that, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Marco has been fantastic out there in front of the cameras, dealing with the media and explaining these policies in a way that's been succinct and to the point, shutting down the critics. But I will say, Bill, that I'm a little disappointed, though, that the McCain, Bush, Lindsey Graham wing of the party that I had kind of said that their demise, I think I greatly exaggerated it mm-hmm. in 2024, Bill, because it's back with a vengeance. This is not putting America first. This is not putting the Constitution first, Bill, this process of what happened here in Venezuela. So I just want to go on the record that I'm not in support of this policy.
Congratulations, you're now on that record. So there you are.
I just want to go on the record there. But here we are. Here's
the other thing is that we've seen in Florida involved here, a lot of Venezuelan immigrants here who were celebrating what has occurred. Yep. You've seen the detractors. You've seen the protesters as well. Not in the same numbers you're seeing the people celebrating.
No, they're dancing in the streets.
Things are changing there.
They're happy.
And they're doing that in Caracas
they're
as well.
They're happy. But again, I'm a guy that believes that the ends never justify the means,
mm-hmm.
and that the means and the process are critical if
right.
you're going to maintain the rule of law, due process, and constitutional norms.
Yeah.
And so just from a constitutional perspective, I have a lot of issues.
I think there's
issues.
Scrutiny to be had. There's no doubt.
A lot of issues here. But in the real world that we're living in, Bill, here we are. Maduro's out. He's never going back. He's never going to be in. And like you said, Marco Rubio has done a great job as Secretary of State dealing with a whole host of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure that the Greenland issue, though, is a winner, Bill.
Okay,
so
tell me what you think
back.
About that.
Well,
we've got just a little time.
Right, we're coming back now. We're hearing talk now about freeing Cuba and that Greenland is back in the spotlight.
Certainly economic pressure on Cuba and other nations as well now that this has occurred. Interesting to see. I wish we had another hour because
I appreciate
we could have
you, Bill.
Fun.
Always good to be with you.
Chris
and
Muro,
thank
you as well. And thank you for joining us here on the Florida News Network. We'll see you next week with another edition of the Roundtable.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Meek on News and Public Affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.